Christian rock is a crock. Christian rap. All right, take your Bibles, turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. I left that scene. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your book this morning. I pray you'd bless our time here in it. Let us be reminded that the Word of God is sharp and quick and powerful, and may it discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to examine a circumstance we see through the Bible over and over and over again, and hopefully challenge us as we head into a Bible conference this week. Genesis chapter 1, you're familiar with the verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Notice the sequence. On one side, you've got without form, you've got void, you've got darkness, you've got these waters, you've got God moving on these waters, the Spirit of God. The voice of God permeates the darkness, says, let there be light, and there is light. Darkness, void, waters, and God, light. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. The moving creature that hath life. So you've got no life yet on this side. You've got these waters, and God speaks concerning these waters, and these waters bring forth life. No life, God speaking over these waters, and then you've got life. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. God saw the wickedness of man. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sound familiar? Sound just like today, doesn't it? Look at verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Sound familiar? All right, now chapter 6. Chapter 6 in verse 17. And behold, I, God speaking, do bring a flood of waters. There's those waters again. Upon the earth to destroy all flesh, where is the breath of life, from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. Chapter 7, verse 21. Chapter 7, verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both the fowl and of cattle and beast, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. Chapter 9 and verse 28. Chapter 9 and verse 28. You're getting a workout in the Bible this morning. Amen. Or if you do, you got your Bible on a phone, you're getting a workout with your little finger. Okay, amen. 9 and 28. And Noah, say the next word, lived, lived, lived. You got sin, you got violence, you've got only evil continually. You've got God, a man, and his family in deep waters, on deep waters. And then on the other side, you've got a fresh start, you've got a new beginning, and you've got life. All right? Hey, Noah, you want to live? Hey, Noah, you want to fulfill God's next step of his plan in your life? You're going to have to go through waters. Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Verse 16. Exodus chapter 1, verse 16. Pharaoh speaking. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools. If it be a son, then ye shall kill him. Ye shall kill him. There's a death mandate. But these midwives and a godly mom to soon show up, and we need this message today, feared God more than they feared the king's commandment. Chapter 2 and verse 3. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him in an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. This little boy was saved by water. By water. He grows up. He gets sidetracked in the wilderness. He finds his wife by a well of water. And when God looks for a man to bring his people out from Pharaoh and out from bondage and up from toil and out from taskmasters and out from a hopeless life, he says, "Where's that guy I pulled out of the water?" Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. In verse 9. "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them." Verse 10, "Come now therefore," God speaking to Moses, "and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And you'll never guess how God is going to bring them out. He's going to bring them out through a big old body of water. I like this. A million people through a big old body of water. Genesis chapter 14. I love this one here. You know, we see Charlton Heston and he's holding up the rod, and we preach a lot on stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. But you know what? God wasn't too thrilled with that right there. Watch this. Exodus chapter 14, verse 24. Exodus 14, 24. Here's Moses, verse 13. "And Moses said unto the people," Exodus 14, 13, "Fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians who have you seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Isn't that good? But watch what God said. "And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Never mind the show, man. Get your feet wet. Step into the waters. On one side, you've got 430 years of bondage and toil and Pharaoh and taskmaster and bad. On the other side, you've got a ticket to the promised land, but you've got to go through some deep waters to get there. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. I'm starting to see a little pattern here. Joshua chapter 3, verse. You've got 40 years of wandering, 40 years of complaining, 40 years of idolatry, 40 years of sin. All the first generation passes off the scene, and we got an opportunity for a fresh start and a new generation and a promised land to be conquered, and you'll never guess where they have to start. Verse 13. "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up as an heap." In other words, Joshua, get your feet wet, and the waters will part, and you'll get through to the other side. One side, you've got toil, you've got 40 years of wandering, 40 years of complaining, 40 years of idolatry. On the other side, a promised land to be claimed, and there's a big old body of water in between. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. You know what the first... Before I get there, the first miracle that Elisha performed after he picked up that mantle. Him and Elijah was walking out. Elijah puts that mantle on the Jordan and it parts. They're together. Elijah gets carried up in a whirlwind. Elisha picks up his mantle, walks back. Guess where he starts his ministry? Right through the water. Right through the deep water. Jonah chapter 2, verse 3. "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, and I will look again toward thy holy temple." Look at verse 9. "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord." Between this rebellious believer and the will of God for his life was some deep, deep waters. Now, he didn't step in. He had to be thrown in. We get to the New Testament. Now it's God going to come down. Now it's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. There's going to be a new covenant. There's going to be a new plan. There's going to be a new people. There's going to be a new testament. There's going to be a new people. God's Son is born into the world. And for 30 years, there's a heavenly drum roll as He grows. And when God gets ready to say, okay, it's time to open the curtain. It's time to present me in a body of flesh. Just like creation, just like Moses, just like Noah, just like Joshua, just like Jonah, just like Elisha. He's gonna set the stage to make a people prepared for the Lord, and you'll never guess where he starts. He called this hairy, fiery preacher that dressed weird, preached weird, looked weird, didn't care what nobody thought, and his pulpit was a river of water. New era, new start, fresh start. He said, hey, you sick of that law? You sick of being a hypocrite? You want to bring forth fruits, meat for repentance? Now get a load of this. And I can't find this in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. I know they got types and purification, but nowhere can I find this. If you want the fresh start to get prepared to meet God that's going to be walking down the street in a minute in the body of human flesh, come down here and let me take you and dunk your entire body in water. And guess where the Son of God kicked off his ministry? Baptize me. Me baptize you. Suffer it to be so for us, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Again, then you theologians can help me later. I don't see that back there. But there's just something about going through deep water to get to the next step of God's will for one's life. I'll spare you the details of where Jesus found his first disciples. I'll spare you the details of how Jesus got in that ship and went out a little bit so he could reach more people when he was preaching. I'll spare you the details of what Peter had to do to get closer to Jesus. Some people say Peter wanted to walk on water. No, I think he just wanted to get closer to Jesus. I'll spare you the details of what some of them disciples had to do to fulfill the will of God to get to the other side. I'll spare you the details of when those fishermen got skunked all night long. Jesus said, get out deeper. But I won't spare you the details of what our Savior had to go through to purchase our redemption. Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Let's get our context. See who we're talking about here. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. We understand we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. Now let's pick it up in verse 1. Save me, O God. This is your Savior. I believe praying on the cross in his heart. For the waters are come in unto my soul. Now you remember that he likened himself to Jonah. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters. Now, it wasn't physical. These are waters that are entering into his soul. I didn't mention that every human being that comes into this world comes through water. But this wasn't that birth, the first birth that John talked about, being born of water. And that wasn't that baptism when he got immersed in water. This is waters that was reaching unto his soul. I am weary of my crying, verse 3. My throat is dry, my eyes are full, while I wait for my God. Verse 14. Deliver me out of the mire, let me not sink, let me be delivered from them that hate me, out of the deep waters. 15. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me, as if there is some flood that our Savior is suffering in the spiritual realm. I don't mean to be irreverent or make a joke, almost as if the devil is there spiritually waterboarding him to getting him to quit. You know what he said in Psalm 51, I think? He said, He is near that justifieth me. Who is mine adversary? Let us stand together. And I'm not giving in. I'm going to go through this flood. So on one side of the cross is the sinless Son of God. But on the other side of this flood is the sinless Son of God that's resurrected and purchased our possession. I think it's part of the offering that His soul made for our sin. Resurrected Christ gets the disciples together, says, I'm going to go now. I want you to go tell them about me. I want you to teach them all things, all nations that I've told you. And then I want you to take their bodies after they believed on me. And I want you to identify with me and to picture what I went through. I want you to take their bodies and I want you to immerse it in water. Put them completely under the water and then bring them out. Interesting, man needs water in him to survive and on him so he don't stink. But in deep water, God and man really don't mix real good. And yet in every instance that we looked at, and there's many more, God wants His people to go where it's not natural. And in these instances, it's deep water. So here's the message, Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business. Isn't that what Jesus said? I must be about my Father's. Aren't we supposed to be about our Father's business? That do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the where? The deep. You're heading into a Bible conference. So I'm going to ask you the question I ask myself. What are the deeper waters for you? And would you dare as you head into this week, like the Apostle Peter, Jesus didn't initiate that thing. Peter initiated and he said, Lord, bid me. Bid me. Take me deeper. I want to go further because that's where you're at. That's where the action is. That's where the works of the Lord are. Let me say a few things about deep waters. Number one, one person's deep is another person's shallow. But it all pleases God. As long as it's deep to you. All right? So Nathan, I know he's some here. Nathan's deep is different than Parker's deep. Right? Moses deep as a baby in the bulrushes was different than Moses deep later in life when he walked through the Red Sea. Noah was on top of the deep. Jonah was underneath the deep. But God was in that, both of them. Christ's body baptism was way shallower than that soul baptism that he went through. You know, we see a believer's baptism, us that have been saved for years and believers, but we don't think nothing of it. But you remember when it was you? Man, I was more nervous than a clam in low tide. I mean, it was scary. I have 30 to 50 people at my house every Sunday. And we fellowship and we eat and sing. And there's some ladies in our church, they'd rather pass a kidney stone than have to open up your home like that. You know what? It's not deep for me. But if it's deep for you, that's where God wants to take you. and maybe this week. That's where God is. One person's deep is another person's shallow. Let me say this. The water's nice once you get used to it. How many of you were, be honest, were, as they say down south, scared from water baptism? When you were, the day you decide, okay, I'll get baptized. Anybody scared, or was I? Man, I was scared. How many regretted it? I remember the first time I preached on the street. Man, I should have wore a diaper. We were in the ghetto of Rochester, and I was afraid. And I seen these other guys doing it, and the Holy Ghost was saying, you know you want to do that. And the flesh was saying, you know you don't. I see windows. It was nighttime, and I see these eyes looking out at us. And man, when I started, it was like a roller coaster. You got to be a fool to go on these crazy roller coasters. Your body's telling you, you're going to die. And you get off and you go, that was great. You know why? Deep water's nice when you get used to it. When you get used to it. You wrote that check for the first time. You were scared. You sang that song. You joined that choir. You opened up your mouth at work for God. You preached your first sermon. You experience deeper waters. And you know what you liked about it? God was there with you. It's nice once you get used to it. Let me say this about deeper waters. Sometime you just got to take the plunge. Kind of like Jonah. He didn't take it. He was tossed. But you've been in the water. Slow doesn't ease the pain. I mean, it's Jordan River, I looked it up, was between 55, the whole season, it's between 55 and 80 degrees, and all that's too cold for me. If it ain't 87, 88, but you think you're going to step in, and everybody, all the kids there in there, come on, you'll get used to it. You'll get used to it. Just dive in. Maybe God will have you to just quit being bound by the paralysis of analysis, the thing that He's been dealing with you about, maybe to get in or to get out of, and take the plunge and just do it. I'm waiting for an open door. You don't do that when you come home from work at night. You open it. I read somewhere where you at least knock on it. If you're waiting for convenience and people to like you and be happy about you telling them the Word of God, you're going to be waiting until you're in the grave. Take the plunge and watch. You feel good about it. You'll feel good about it. Kids are the best in the water. They dive in. They take bigger risks. They never want to get out. They make it look fun. You run over to Joshua 1. Joshua 1. I know Joshua wasn't a Baptist when I read this verse. Joshua chapter 1, he was not a Baptist preacher. Look what he said in verse 15. I'll show you, I'll prove it to you. Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, and he hath given you, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and say the next two words. God forbid. The kids make it look fun. Same water, same temperature, but they're out there just frolicking and having a ball. I wonder if God would just have us to get in and just waller a little bit. just enjoy it a little bit. Get in and see if God doesn't keep His Word as He brings you into deeper waters to the next step of service in your Christian life. I fell off of the back of a motorcycle with no helmet when I was 14 years old and bounced down the street on my head. And that's why I'm crazy. So I am not what they call daredevil. I don't like risks and all that. But some people do. I see these people whitewater rafting. You got to be out of your mind. And you know what you'll notice about those when you see them? They're smiling. Tubing. You ever go tubing on the back of a boat with an idiot behind the wheel? And they just find it funny to skip you like a stone across the water? And then, whoa! And you go, oh, that was great. I'm telling you, getting deep can be enjoyable. One person's deep is another person's shallow. But if it's a step for you deeper, it'll please God because it takes faith. Water's nice once you get used to it. Sometimes you just got to take the plunge. It can be enjoyed, you say, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Me and my buddy were down in, where were we? Orlando, no, Daytona, somewhere down there. And I don't mind going in the ocean. And we was out in that ocean. All of a sudden there was a school of these silver. I seen enough YouTube videos about sharks and stuff like that. I want to be up by the pool, man. Now, Christians, we don't go to the ocean. We go to the coast. So we was at the coast, and we was standing out there. You know, we were dressed. And this silver things, I don't know what they were. Man, I thought it was Star Trek. Ah, you never seen a fat guy run so fast in all your life. I'm scared. But Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43:1. Thank you. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, earth, Noah, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, Joshua, and Elijah, and Elisha, and John, and Jesus, they shall not overflow thee. You know why? Because He's there. He's there. Deep is where God is. These that do business in great waters see the works of the Lord. So here's your challenge this week. God, show me my deeper. And then bid me come to Thee. Maybe you're not even saved. There's no question to what your deeper is. Maybe you've never been scripturally baptized. We'd have been baptized 30 years ago. Don't think nothing of it. We understand it's deep waters for you. You will not regret it. And if you're going to get to the next step to see the works of the Lord in your life, step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Some of you don't give. You don't tithe. And I don't know what you believe about tithe. I'm not. But I saw in the windows of heaven in Genesis opened. And you know what come from them windows? A flood. You know what that's the beginning of the old. The end of the old says, you give the way I told you to give, and you see if I don't open up the windows of heaven. You know what comes out of the windows of heaven? Floods. Floods upon the dry ground. Deeper waters for you, young people, might be eliminating someone from your life. Deep waters you might have to talk to God as much as you talk on this book, or get your face in this book as much as you on Facebook. And I don't mean to be funny. I'm serious. If you're going to go further, and listen, this, you're living in a dark world. Maybe it's opening your mouth for God at work. Maybe it's singing in a choir. Maybe it's taking a missions trip. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you this. As big as it is to you, it is to God. And He's waiting. Bid me. I don't know a businessman that is satisfied with where his business is at. And yet God said, these that do business in great waters see the work of the Lord. Maybe it's been a little mundane for you. Can I speak to us old people now? I mean, I got an AARP card in my car. Now, I don't pay for it, but they send it to you when you hit 55, and so I figure I might get a discount at Walmart or something. But you know, when you're living up in the blue nose land, it's cold. Then you come down here, redneck land, and it's warm. You see them palm trees in February. And you know, I worked in the secular world for 14 years, and they send me that thing, the Social Security check I'm going to get someday. And you start to think, Joshua was 92 years old when he got his feet wet. Maybe this week God will have you step into the waters and get your feet wet. There's not a businessman that's satisfied with where his business is at. There's not a young man that goes to the workplace and says, oh, I'm just happy digging these ditches. He wants to do great works. Great works. Been at it a while. You're used to it. You're good at it. You miss the uncertainty of not knowing if you're going to sink or swim. Lord, bid me come to Thee this week. Help me to get my feet wet and step a little bit closer.